Let's look at the three yanas and the three vehicles. And what are the three? The hearer's vehicle, the solitary realizer's vehicle, and the bodhisattva vehicle. So these are the three vehicles, the hearers, or the three yanas, yeah. The hearers vehicle, the solitary realizer's vehicle, and the bodhisattva vehicle. And you have to know that this is different from the four Buddhist tenets, yeah. So we talked about the four types of proponents of Buddhist tenets, yeah. So these are two different things. If you look at the history of the presentation of the tenets and the three vehicles, there were some commentators who said that the Great Exposition School, the Vaibhashikas, and the Sutra School, the Sautantrikas, are belonging to the hearer's vehicle. Then the mind-only school belongs to the solitary realizer's vehicle. And then the Mahayana, or the great vehicle, is linked to the middle way school. So there were some commentators who made such a link. But however, you have to know that this is wrong, it's incorrect.
Kumapa, Tinzola, Tindeg to Dama, Kansa Shiko, Kambula, Nepot, Lama Shuku Yava, Josie, the Taposmo Kongrum, Kansa, Lama Shunishi, Lam Jula Jenny, the Taposmo said you are, Timola, Lam Jula Majiba Maru, the Taposum in Namshad, you are, Jazan Tatu Dama Shiko Kongrula, Taposum in Duguay Chapayo.
So, a proponent of Buddhist tenets is not necessarily someone who has entered the path. Whether it is the hearer's path, solitary realizer's path, or the Mahayana path, yeah, isn't it? We only talk about the three vehicles in the context of someone who has already entered the path. The path of either the hearers, solitary realizers, or the Mahayana path, isn't it? Yeah. So, but in the case of someone who is a proponent of the Buddhist tenets, and be it any of the four tenets, that proponent need not necessarily have really generated a path in his or her mind, isn't it? And as such, it's not necessarily someone who has entered the hearer's path, solitary realizer's path, or the Mahayana path, isn't it? Hello?
Are you getting something or no?
I'm trying to explain trying to help you understand that there is a difference between the proponents of the four Buddhist tenets and the three vehicles. These two are not necessarily the same. Okay, there is a difference between the proponent of the four Buddhist tenets, a proponent of any of the Buddhist tenets, and follower or someone who belongs to one of the three yanas. Yeah. There is a difference. Why? Because a proponent of any of the four Buddhist tenets need not be someone who has already entered a path, be it the hearer's path, solitary realizer's path, or Mahayana path, isn't it? Right. Basically, there are proponents of Buddhist tenets who have not generated any path in their minds. Right? Yes? Sure?
Wow. Are you getting, are you not getting anything? Are you getting something? Huh? What the?
So, a Hinayanist, for example, a Hinayanist, someone who has entered the Hinayana path, who has generated a path in his or her mental continuum. Such a Hinayanist could be a proponent of great exposition, could be a proponent of sutra, could be a proponent of mind only, or it could be a proponent of the middle way, isn't it?
Ranjali Tapala Shunya Kansatila, Chitamoto Deva
So similarly, someone who has entered the solitary realizer's path could be a proponent of either of the four Buddhist tenets. Yeah. It could be a Vaibhashika, could be a Sautantrika, could be a Chittamachin, could be a Madhyamika as well. Likewise, someone who has entered the Mayana path could, basically a Mayanist, that person could be a proponent of great exposition, or a proponent of sutra school, or proponent of Mayanoni, or proponent of middle way, isn't it? Yeah? So, a proponent of Hinayana tenets is not the same as someone who has entered the Hinayana path. Right? So, they are not to be understood, to be, the same. You're not the same. It is also wrong to think that a proponent of Mayanist tenets, a proponent of Mayana tenets, is the same as a Mahayanist, someone who has entered the Mayana path. It's wrong to think that they are the same. Why? Why is a proponent of Mahayana tenets not necessarily a Mahayanist?
Complete the basic program. Well, first time. Why? Yeah. Can you answer somebody? Somebody can answer? No, but taking it to the Maya Kansata, taking it to Kansa, Chipa Chiyan Shana, Kyung Kariyaris.
What kind of fallacy is incurred if one posits that a proponent of Mahayana tenets is a Mahayanist necessarily? Someone who has entered the Mayana path. Yeah. Why? Why is it? What kind of problem? So we talk about the three vehicles, the hearer's vehicle, the solitary realizer's vehicle, and the bodhisattva vehicle. So we talk about yana, or vehicle, isn't it? So in this context, yana, vehicle, path, and clear realization, refer to the same thing. So when we talk about path, what exactly is path? What is the boundary between path and non-path? Yeah? Or the generation of a path and absence of a path? Yeah? What is the boundary? The moment a fully qualified renunciation is developed in the mental continuum, then it is said that the path has been generated. renunciation or literally the determination to be free. A proponent of any of the four Buddhist tenets need not be someone who has really generated this fully qualified determination to be free or renunciation in his or her mind, isn't it? Okay, so these are the three vehicles, the hearers, a vehicle, the solitary realizer's vehicle, and then the bodhisattva vehicle, the Mahayana, or the great vehicle, Mahayana. Yeah. Each of these three vehicles have their respective five paths. Yeah. So this you have to memorize. Yeah. So the hearers vehicle, they are the five paths, yeah, of the hearers. Yeah. So they are the path of accumulation of the hearers' path of accumulation, the hearers' path of preparation, the hearers' path of seeing, the hearers' path of meditation, and the hearers' path of no more learning. Okay, so there are the five hearers' path, the five solitary realizers' path, and the five Mahayana paths. See, you have to know. Okay. So each of the three vehicles have the five paths. Yeah. Okay. So the first one is the path of accumulation. So let's take the hearer's path of accumulation for example. Why is it called the path of accumulation? Yeah. So the path of accumulation is the, for sake of simplicity, the path of accumulation refers to the time in which, you know, that individual is primarily accumulating the collection, yeah, and primarily focused on hearing and reflection. You know, we talked about the threefold activity of hearing, reflection, and meditation, isn't it? So the path of accumulation refers to this time, you know, when an individual, the one who has entered the respective path, yeah, is kind of focusing on hearing and a reflection, and it's also focusing on accumulating a merit. Yeah. So the path of accumulation refers to the time where this individual is primarily focusing on accumulating the collections, mainly through the activities of hearing and reflection. So the path of accumulation, when divided, you know, then there are three divisions: the small path of accumulation, the middling path of accumulation, and the great path of accumulation.
What did you say?
So that is roughly what the path of accumulation is. Yeah. Then you have the path of preparation, jolam in Tibetan. The path of preparation, or sometimes in the word jowa, literally means connection, or connecting, linking to. So it's usually translated the path of preparation. Yeah. So as opposed to the path of accumulation, when the primary focus is on hearing and reflection, isn't it? On the path of preparation, the focus is on cultivating the wisdom arisen from meditation. Meditating on what? Meditating or familiarizing the mind with the meaning that has been ascertained through the earlier activities of hearing and reflection. Yeah. The meaning of the scriptures, and in particular, the meaning of selflessness. Okay? So, and this meditation on the meaning of the scriptures that has been ascertained earlier, and in particular meditating on the meaning of selflessness, is done, in technical language, and done through the medium of a mental image or meaning generality. And in this practice, at this time in this stage of the spiritual development, prepares the person to actualize the path of seeing. So this practice will connect, link this person to the path of seeing.
Okay. Tenshinan tene, ta dame kome, jolam kanyakos, gomche, ta ngusum na tonga na pa jowar chesi, ta tanda tonga musaydi, ta tenpa ngusum na tangpo tenshinan tene kong, ane gong kale ane chik ta, dame ngusum na tongto esi, tenshinan mariwa na tongto esi, tenshinan mariwa ngusum na tonga na jowar chesi, ta tanda jolam musaydi.
So on the path of preparation, essentially the individual is primarily focused on meditating on selflessness, yeah. But this meditation is done via mental image, yeah, meaning generality of, yeah. And this meditation will eventually connect or link him, this individual, to seeing the truth, seeing the meaning of selflessness directly, as opposed to seeing it or realizing it via a meaning generality. So then when the path of preparation is divided, then there are four. Yeah. There is the heat stage of the path of preparation, then the forbearance stage of the path of preparation, the peak stage of the path of preparation, and the fourth one, I don't know how you translate, the supreme mundane qualities, usually the supreme mundane qualities of stage of the path of preparation. So these are the four divisions of the path of preparation.
What in this? That on that, that in the ma, that lam sumba, because of that sumba, tolam, says you on this. Tolam said it on that, tonga lam, sin lapo at the team, but not toma new, dembazi, almost some to sub to toins, that tongam sin.
Then the third path is the path of seeing. Rumshi always says rising path, right seeing path. It's not rising path, it's right seeing path. So the path of seeing. So why is it called the path of seeing? Because that individual is seeing the truth directly for the first time, yeah. So it's called the path of seeing.
About just now, what did you miss just now? rising?
Rising path. Yeah. Rising. Sounds like rising path, right, isn't it? But it's right seeing path. So, yeah.
I remember same time. I think Rinpoche mentioned one time. When you talk about the depending arising. So there's one English lady, her pronunciation is very, very good, you know. And but when you hear Rinpoche teaching, when you talk about depending arising, the lady heard Tibetan rising. You know? 1 year she heard that, you know. The Rinpoche saying Tibetan rising. You know?
I think it happened again, right, in Hong Kong, just over the weekend, right? Again it happened, right, I think, yeah. I heard.
And some people hear that, you know? You said depending or rising, and people hear Tibetan rising.
Right, seeing path.
So he couldn't get his teaching, you know, talk about Tibetan rising, what they had to do.
Rising path. Right seeing path.
Hope you are not hearing this way. Yeah. Huh? Huh? What do we talk here then? What is in the top? Tolam che. Ta tolam de la chitang re. Ta nang se che na nying gu yo. Ta chitang mangpo yung ta. Tolam nyam shay shi, tolam jitoy shi, shay, dati ni ni, jabar yung di kiyo.
So, there are different ways of dividing, I guess, the path of seeing. But one way is to talk about the path of seeing in terms of the wisdom of meditative equipoise, or the path of seeing, and the wisdom of subsequent attainment of the path of seeing.
Tinema ta ta shiva ane shi ta kolam se shi yungan.
Then the fourth path is the path of meditation.
Otoshini ta tia ba te tire ta thonam gi na bo na ka su de bo mo sum du ta thong sa re ta tire la ga de mo sum thon shi me ba re ta dai ta de mo sum du thonam gi de mo sum thon ti ni. Ani, kāng tōng sīng bā tīnī, yāng nian dō kōng bā chī, kōng gī yō zhāng, tā kōng lōng, kōng lōng sīng bā yā shī tīrī.
So on the path of seeing, the person, the individual has or saw the truth directly for the first time. Yeah. And with respect to the object, the truth, yeah. With respect to the object itself, once you've seen it directly, then with respect to that object, there's nothing more you can see. There's nothing higher, more exalted than that, you know. So, but what happens on the path of meditation? On the path of meditation, essentially the individual is familiarizing, his or her mind, you know, with what he or she saw on the path of seeing, which is the truth. Just familiarizing, you know, the realization over and over again. So that is what happens on the path of meditation.
Otokshine, tine ma ta lam ngaba, ta milo lam sudoka na, ta ngaba lam ngaba, milo lam sayi, ta milo lam sudoka na, ta kwa lam vichya la, milo lam tomi duka na, ta rang rang, lam la, la yang lo kukuyo gare. Rang rang lam la, la yang lo mokope na, milo lam sayi.
So then the fifth the path is the path of normal learning. So it refers to the time, you know, in which, you know, there is no need to train anymore. You know, one's respective path, you know, whatever vehicle you're on. Yeah. So there's no need anymore there's nothing to train anymore, basically. There's nothing to learn, basically. And so it's called the path of normal learning. Yeah.
What does it mean? That does it mean? Then that tap a sum set, and in the tap a sugar that Lamma Yumashi, that then a solum, jolum, tolum, golum, minolum, sinner Lamma Yumashi.
So when we talk about the five hearers' path, they are the hearers' path of accumulation, the hearers' path of preparation, the hearers' path of seeing, the hearers' path of meditation. And here is path of normal learning.
어떻게 되다 다 대한 독신 섬에 담아 거의 분명해 조조 다 초랑면 내가라 다 초랑도 사세 전단이 조조 다 손랑 비트나 토섬 체시 사과도 남에 있잖아 다 토섬 체시 토섬 체시 남에 있잖아 다 고안이야 답라 망보지 좀 좀만 보든지 다 다 남에 있잖아 고안이야 토섬 게 돈 봐 조 뒤를 빼봐 체시 다 뒤 봐 초랑 그냥
So on the path of accumulation, the individual is focused on accumulating merit. And in the threefold activity of hearing, reflection, and meditation, that individual on the path of accumulation focuses primarily on hearing and reflection on the meaning of the scriptures, and in particular on the meaning of selflessness, in order to gain a correct understanding of selflessness.
어떻게 되냐마 되냐시다 도성이 되라 밥셔베 담에게 된디 아니다 전지든 되었거네 아니지 다 고매지 다 저런 거냐 가서 검증 조치네다 다 검발치기 하래 또 담에 전지 수익 검발치시다 검체 다 내 먹었으면 통하라 다 예로 다시다 또
On the path of preparation, that individual is focused on primarily on meditating on the meaning of selflessness that has been settled in his or her own mind through the earlier hearing and reflection. Okay? So what is he meditating on the meaning of selflessness? Which came from what? The meaning of selflessness which has been settled, which has been delineated clearly in his or her mind through the earlier reflection, and hearing and reflection. Yeah. And so he's meditating on, this individual is meditating on selflessness, isn't it? By meditating on selflessness through the medium of a meaning generality or a mental image. Yeah. And this meditation will make him closer and prepares the individual to see, to realize the selflessness directly, to see the truth directly. Yeah.
어떻게 다 졸음이 나가서 다 검증 조치는 고민도 가나 다음에 또 검증 조치는 고민도 가나 다 단지 문제 망보시 다 차단다 단지 문제 망보시 망 문제 꼭터베시
So he's primarily meditating on the wisdom arisen from meditation, yeah, on the path of preparation, and this meditation. Can counter, stop many manifest afflictions, manifest anger, manifest attachment, and so forth.
어떻게 되냐마 아니지 갈수나 갈수없나 아니 나 다음에 나 뒤에 갈 검검체 등지수의 검체 아니 갈래 다 간수 다 다음에 무슨 통행도 가나 다 토람세 이 차에 다 뒤치도 가라 다 그 니문 원년을 도터바지 뒤도 차비야 다 니문 원년 도터바지 봐봐 지난 가서 시원한 시대 다 니문자다 니문자만 입에 뒤바 세기 조조 니문자 집에 다 원년 차도베지
True meditating over and over again on the meaning of selflessness via mental image via meaning generality Then his or her mind is prepared, you know, for the eventual direct perception of selflessness. Yeah. Okay. And when the individual sees, you know, for the first time the truth directly, or sees the meaning of selflessness directly, then that individual, for the first time, come to possess in his or her hands the actual antidote to the afflictions. So earlier in the last lesson, we talked about the two kinds of obscurations, isn't it? The afflictive obscurations and the non-afflictive obscurations, right? So this wisdom directly perceiving selflessness, you know, is the actual antidote to the afflictive obscurations.
어떻시네. 다 딜라이스도 갈라. 다 니모지리 디바 수도라. 다 동방 공방 쓰냐. 거 진대기 잡을 친구야. 그래. 동방 공방 쓰. 통남부터 기방 거야. 관람부터 기방 거야. 다 돌아 이 군다기 리든소. 다 통남부터 기. 다 니모지리 디바 군다든소. 다 돌아 통남부터 기방 거야.
And afflictive obscurations are, you can look at afflictive obscurations in terms of path of seeing abandonments and path of meditation abandonments. There are some afflictive obscurations that has to be abandoned by the path of seeing, or that is abandoned by the path of seeing, whilst there are other afflictive obscurations that are abandoned by the path of meditation. Yeah. So what are the path of seeing abandonments? The afflictive obscurations that are abandoned by the path of seeing, they are the intellectually acquired afflictions.
어 대신에 다 당당히 다 통방 모습을 통해도 가나 다 니몽다 저 니몽심이 뒤병원이 차세 아니 다 니몽심이 뒤막 군다든지 배제한다 도랑을 내가 쓰다 방도하지 근데 다 니몽심 많이 뵙지 말 생계 니몽심이 뵙지 말 생계들도 그냥 나를 안 꼼 안 꼼방 아 꼼방부터 뒤방 가야지.
So when the individual directly perceives the truth for the first time, and that's when he enters, achieves the power of seeing, yeah? At that time, the intellectually acquired afflictive obscurations are abandoned. Then the innate afflictive obscurations are to be abandoned by the path of meditation. It's because on the path of meditation, one is familiarizing one's mind, you know, meditating over and over again on what has been realized,
earlier.
So after abandoning all the afflictive obscurations, the innate afflictive obscurations through by the powerful meditation, then this individual, let's say the hearers, the one who's on the hearer's path, yeah, he achieves the hearer's path of no more learning, and he achieves the respective enlightenment of his own path. Yeah. So in this case, he achieves the result of a full destroyer. An arhat, yeah. A hearer's arhat, yeah.
What do you mean? Say that. What do you mean? That Karsana, that Lugdila, Karsurata. And then my moment to meditate. That Niba Salam, you know, Shepard. Tabosumji, Kansaki, Lam Dusuki, Chabar Yodis. Tinamalong to Nindu, you said Namji, Kansaranja to the Dawan of the Tawa, Sonam to Sonam to Dede, Sesumas of the Padu Combatine, Changju Chung and Tower Chess.
So, in the root text on page 5, if we look at the presentation of the paths, according to the Great Exposition School, yeah. Okay? So that was a general kind of explanation of the five paths, right? But if we now look at what the Great Exposition School say about the three vehicles and the five paths, okay? It is asserted that there are differences in the way in which the persons of the three vehicles traverse the path. Those of the hearer lineage conjoin the view, realizing the person to be empty of self, being self-sufficient, substantially existent, with a small collection of merit, and having cultivated that for at least three lifetimes, attain the small enlightenment.
공부체네 정주팀 타바치에서
Those of the solitary realizer lineage conjoin the view, realizing the person to be empty of being self-sufficient, substantially existent, with a middling collection of merit, and having cultivated that for at least 100 eons attain the middling enlightenment.
어 독신 드네마 장선 남지 대대에 따와서 선능 속 첨보도 숨도 대대 가지 담요 숨어서 파도 공부 체내 전조심 못어버리 제가 이미 체를
Bodhisattvas conjoin the view realizing the person to be empty of being self-sufficient, substantially existent with a great collection of merit and having cultivated that for at least three countless great eons, attain the great enlightenment.
어딘데기다 고조 다 가서 어딘데신 다 대남의 초소주기 제발 여대했다. 그리고 장세 남지 졸음 신보 미제도 같이 당면 숨어서 바도 조사는 졸음 전에 미래도 남바 된도시 한번도 지냈어.
So according to the great exposition school, these are the differences in the way in which they accumulate merit. Yeah? So what are the differences? Bodhisattvas, having accumulated merit for at least three countless great eons on the great path of accumulation. You know, when we talk about the path of accumulation dividing the three, yeah? So this is on the great stage, on the big path of accumulation and below. Then, they actualize the heat stage of the path of preparation through, all the way through to the path of no more learning literally is on one seat. Maybe you say on one sitting, maybe. It's more, yeah, otherwise, I don't know, let me start to think about, you know, getting a bigger cushion or, you know.
다들 제가 안 딴다 그래도 아무도 다 초사당에 잡아도 가두사글서는 가지 담으면 초기 다 다래 다 독신 다 돈다니 님들 란자 대신 그나 장승이 태파선 신도거나 다 제담으로 신도거나 다 고매디 검체 지지반이 말이야 봐 님들게 고매 강사게 담매래 란자 대신 검체 조디 건가 지봐 봐 봐 뭐 딜레 사가 강사게 담으시 담으시 샤
So, according to the Great Exposition School, the object of meditation of these three types of these three lineages are the same, yeah. Because in terms of the object of negation, the object to be refuted, the self-sufficient, substantially existent person, the apprehension of such a person. Is asserted to be same, yeah. For yeah. So the object of meditation for the hearers, solitary realizers, and bodhisattvas, according to the Great Exposition School, the object of meditation is the same.
In that, Chabati, that Chanchusun, the Zoni, Tonam, Saksun, Tonam, Tos, Chungot, and Sundu, Dene, that to the Tessum, you show the Tessum, and Rangu, and Mundi situation. 라는 밀러로 남은 듯이다. 란젤기 다 조사도 가나. 아니 가진 게 조사지. 아니 지다. 조긴 사지. 가진 게부터 사지. 다 딘데지부터 조사는 신의 람이 정수 듣고해. 다 대전수도 가나. 저는 소신부 사고. 뒤에다 두 가지 정도 숨을 조사지. 다 정수 듣고해. 아마 조 소는 그 조사야. 유름보다 딘데기 전에 개발시도 가.
So the hearer, solitary realizer, and the bodhisattvas, according to the Great Exposition School, yeah, we're talking about the Great Exposition School, right? These three types of persons have the same object of meditation, yeah, isn't it? The emptiness of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person, isn't it? But the time that they spend in accumulating the collection of merit differs, yeah. For the hearers, it's three lifetimes, at least three lifetimes, isn't it? Yeah. With small collection of merit, yeah. Having cultivated that for at least three lifetimes, isn't it? Then, based on that, they achieve the hearer's enlightenment. For the solitary realizers, they conjoin the meditation with middling collection of merit, yeah. And that is cultivated for at least 100 eons, isn't it? And in dependence on that, they achieve their solitary realizers enlightenment. The bodhisattvas meditate on the same thing, but it is conjoined with a great collection of merit, and that is cultivated for at least three great countless eons. And based on that, he achieves full enlightenment. Yeah.
어떡시니 제가 다 디네만 드시게인도 다 장선 남기 가져 담으면서 초대 가도 사기 그랬어. 제가 마세도 가나 다 손은 분냐고 써요. 손은 어떻게 시원하신 전부 진 중국 진 전부 쓰시 다 뒤에 가봐 다 가져 담으면서 초시 어 뒤에 가봐 써시다. 제가 말씀은
So according to the Great Exposition School, you must think, we're always thinking, you know, according to the Great Exposition School, yeah. You know, the Bodhisattvas accumulate merit over a period of three great countless eons, yeah. But these three great countless eons happens, you know, on which path? Out of the five paths. On which path or paths? According to the Great Exposition School, this collection of merit is done, well, this three great counts, great yawns, is, happens, you know, on the great stage of the power of accumulation and below, yeah, basically, on the power of accumulation,
yeah.
So you think about it, yeah, that the collection of merit, you know, happens primarily according to the Great Exposition School, primarily on the path of accumulation, isn't it? Based on that, then, you know, there's some meaning behind the term, the path of accumulation, isn't
it?
Okay, so we are talking about the Bodhisattvas, yeah, from the perspective of the Great Exposition School. So the Bodhisattvas accumulate merit, isn't it, for at least three countless great yawns, isn't it? And these three countless great yawns happens, you know, on the path of accumulation. And after having accumulated this huge amount of merit, then what do? They enter into, they actualize the heat stage of the path of preparation. Earlier we talked about how the path of preparation has four divisions, is it? The heat, peak, forbearance, and supreme mundane qualities, yeah. So, actualize the heat stage of the path of preparation. That is done within meditative equipoise. So, by entering the meditative equipoise, then it actualizes into the heat, the stage of the path of preparation. And then within the same meditative equipoise, manifests the next stage, peak, then followed by forbearance, followed by supreme mundane qualities, and then next the power of meditation, the power of seeing is manifest. Continue to the power of meditation that is manifest, and then finally, again, lastly manifesting the power of no more learning. So all of this is occurs within one meditative repose on one sitting. Well, this is how
a bodhisattva achieves enlightenment according to the great exposition school. Yeah. Like basically from the heat, from the very start of the path of preparation, yeah, yeah, which is the heat stage, all the way up to the path of no more learning, that is achieved in one meditative voice in one sitting. Okay. And you must have heard about the 12 deeds of the Buddha, yeah. You know, the 12 deeds of Buddha, starting from the deed of birth, yeah, all the way up to the deed of passing away, isn't it, right? So, according to the great exposition school, starting from the first deed, the deed of being born, up to the deed of subduing the Maras, those are considered to be the deeds of an ordinary person. The deed of achieving enlightenment, the deed of turning the wheel of Dharma, and the deed of passing away into Parinirvana, those three deeds are considered to be the deeds of a Buddha. So this is according to the Great Exposition School. So, according to what is commonly accepted here, to view in the case of the Buddha's life, yeah, he accumulated, finished the accumulation of merit. No? Then he sat under the Bodhi tree. Then after subduing the holes of Maras under the Bodhi tree, then he entered into meditative repose. And then within that meditative repose, that one sitting, then he achieved enlightenment, isn't it? Yeah. So from the moment he entered in meditative repose, you know, so that moment of entering the meditative repose, you know, is of the five paths. That moment is the heat stage of the path of preparation. Yeah. And in that one sitting, he said to have achieved enlightenment, isn't it? So in that one sitting, he progressed from the heat stage of the path of preparation all the way to the path of no more learning. So this is the Hinayana explanation of how Buddha achieved enlightenment, isn't it, right? That in one sitting under the Bodhi tree, after subduing Mara, he entered the meditative repose, and then he actualized enlightenment. Yeah. Okay. So from the time he entered into the meditative repose is where the heat stage of the path of preparation starts. Yeah. And in one sitting all the way up to the path of no more learning. So this is the commonly accepted version of how Buddha achieved enlightenment, isn't it? So it's primarily from the perspective of the Hinayana, isn't it? So if you think according to this perspective, who is that person who entered into meditative Yupo is under the Bodhi tree after having subdued Mara. That person is an ordinary being, isn't it? A person who is on the path of preparation is an ordinary being, not a superior being, an ordinary being, right? And the ordinary being has ordinary aggregates, the contaminated body and mind, isn't it? Right. So on the basis of that one body, the same body, in one meditation session, in one sitting, he progresses all the way up to enlightenment, isn't it? But after having achieved enlightenment, according to the Hinayana perspective, the body is still there, isn't it? This body is the body that the Buddha had when he was an ordinary being on the path of preparation, isn't it? So therefore, according to the Hinayana perspective, the Buddha's body is not Buddha Jewel because it is true suffering. So according to the Hinayana perspective, after having achieved enlightenment, that body is the same body that the Buddha had when he entered in meditative repose under the tree. And at that time of entering the meditative repose, he was not Buddha, right? He was just an ordinary being, isn't it? But that ordinary being means having an ordinary contaminated body, isn't it? That body of the person who entered the meditative repose, that body is a result of karma and afflictions, isn't it? But in one sitting, he achieves enlightenment, isn't it? But after reaching enlightenment, the body is still there, isn't it? So from the Hinayana perspective, therefore, that body is contaminated. It's true suffering. It is not Buddha. It is object of abandonment, actually. So this is from the Hinayana's perspective. According to the Hinayana perspective, they do assert a supreme emanation body. And the supreme emanation body is the form body of the Buddha after having achieved enlightenment up to the point before manifesting the deed of passing the parinirvana. Yeah. Okay? So that the form body during that period is the supreme emanation body. And after passing the parinirvana from the Hinayana perspective, the continuum of matter, basically the body, is this severed. So is the continuum of the Buddha's consciousness, mind is severed. Yeah. Just like how a butter lamp or flame of a butter lamp goes out of existence. So this is the Hinayana's explanation, and basically in the Mahayana, there is a presentation of the complete enjoyment body, one of the form bodies of Buddha. Yeah. This is not accepted in the Hinayana. Yeah. Because according to the Hinayana perspective, And once the Buddha has passed away into parinirvana, passed beyond sorrow, the continuum of the Buddha's consciousness and body is severed. Yeah. It's severed, and it means bogi. So you may have heard of the term the nirvana with remainder, yeah. So according to Hinayana perspective, this refers to the time, you know, when the Buddha, you know, having his the contaminated body, you know, up to just before passing into parinirvana, yeah. So that time, you know, the Buddha has that contaminated body from before, isn't it? Yeah. So during that time, you know, then that period is called the nirvana with remainder. And after passing the parinirvana, then passing beyond the sorrowless state, yeah, then the continuum of both matter and consciousness is severed. Yeah. So we have to think about this particular perspective, you know, about, you know, Buddha going out of existence, you know, continuum of both matter and consciousness severed, you know. So is there something that remains, you know? So is there this non-compositional factor that remains, you know? So we have to think about basically what it really means when we say that the Buddha goes out of existence.
Yeah.
Then the solitary realizes also accumulate merit, yeah. And they accumulate merit for at least 100 great eons, isn't it? And if that happens, you know, on the great stage of the path of accumulation and below.
Yeah.
And the solitary realizers actualize their own enlightenment is also in one sitting, starting from the heat stage of the path of preparation all the way to the solitary realizers of the path of no more learning of the solitary realizers. So the aggregates or the body of the person who has achieved the solitary realizes enlightenment is also contaminated. Yeah. Same reason as before, yeah, because the body is basically the continuation of the body that he had when he entered into the heat stage of the power for preparation. Yeah. Yeah. So the body that he has, So during the time after having achieved the solitary realizer's enlightenment and after before passing into nirvana, so that time, you know, is also called the nirvana with a remainder.
Yeah.
And when this solitary realizer passes away, dies, and then he achieves the nirvana without remainder, and same thing, the continuum of matter and consciousness is severed.
When the
solitary realizes aggregates and goes out of existence, severed in both the body and mind, you know, I mean, there's no more taking rebirth here. There's no more getting another set of aggregates, isn't it? Yeah. So that's what is left is that.
What is it? Nema, ta nindugi, lawa, ta nindugi, the singi, the talk sayatila, Jimmy Solomon Nagalichaba, Lolum Shige, Nagala, and the talk sagre, Sumia, Karsena, Lolum Shit, Sugala, ta, Solom, Jolum, Tolum, Colum, Shige, Nagala, ta, Chesum, part of talk society, ta, Tinzu.
Those of the hero lineage said to accumulate merit on all four learning paths. And what are the four learning paths? And basically, all the paths excluding the path of no more learning. So the path of accumulation, path of preparation, path of seeing, and path of meditation. These are the four learning paths. Yeah. So it's not that the hearers can only accumulate merit, you know, on the path of accumulation, and then so they accumulate merit on all four learning paths. So those of the hero lineage, even after having attained a superior path, must also train on the learning paths for up to 14 lifetimes. So those of the hero's lineage accumulate merit on all four learning paths over, it says, three lifetimes, isn't it? Right? At least three lifetimes, right? Then after that, then they manifest the hero's enlightenment. Yeah. And after actualizing the hero's enlightenment, the same, there is also the hero's nirvana with remainder and without remainder.
Yeah.
And after achieving the nirvana without remainder, similarly like before, in the previous explanation, the continuum of both the body and mind is severed. Yeah.
Oh, today is that. Ani chik ta. Today is that. Ta chita ma ve. Tatto ki tapo sum yaris. Tatto ki tapo sum. To yungai dia zo sanje ani kam mi ta was. Ani duba mi ta was. Today yue bi jun sen to che che an tatto ki duba de la mi ta sum yaris. Tatto ki duba de na.
And So according to the Great Exposition School, there are three final vehicles. Yeah, the three final vehicles, which means also that there are three final fruits of attainment. Why? Because sentient beings pattern liao liao. That is a Singlish way of saying sentient beings have different dispositions. Therefore, you have three final vehicles and therefore three final fruits of attainment. This, maybe you may have not heard this before. I mean, the word final has a meaning. You know? Why there are three final vehicles, which means having three final fruits of attainments. Because those of a hero's lineage, once they achieve their respective enlightenment, the hero's enlightenment, especially achieving the nirvana without remainder, that's it. There's nothing more after that. There's nothing higher really for them. That is their final fruit of attainment. Similarly for the solitary realizers and then for Buddha, you know, for those of the Bodhisattva lineage, once they achieve Buddhahood, that's it. You know, there's nothing more to achieve. You
know.
So in short, there's the Hinayana Nirvana without remainder, isn't it? Hinayana Nirvana with remainder, yeah. If you then look at it in more detail, then you have the hearers Nirvana with remainder and the solitary here realizes Nirvana with remainder, right? What exactly is abandoned when one achieves either the hearer's nirvana with remainder or the solitary realizes nirvana with remainder? What essentially is abandoned? Of the two obscurations, it is the afflictive obscurations that is abandoned. So what exactly is abandoned when one achieves either the hearer's nirvana with remainder or the solitary realizes nirvana with remainder? The thing that is abandoned, object abandonment, is the afflictive obscurations. Yeah. What? So the non-afflictive obscurations are not abandoned. Yeah. So then, both the hearers and the solitary realizers, they both have to die, right? I mean, put it bluntly. Basically, then they achieve the nirvana without remainder, isn't it? But when they achieve the nirvana without remainder, the non-afflictive obscurations also cease to exist, you know? Not because that cessation happens due to the force of an antidote, but because the basis, the very basis non-afflictive obscurations ceases to exist, yeah? So if the basis ceases to exist, then, of course, then that which depends on the basis ceases to exist, lah.
Oh,
But it's different for someone who has achieved the Mahayana path of no more learning. So someone who achieved the Mahayana path of no more learning, a Buddha, you can see someone Buddha that is Nirvana with remainder. Nevertheless, Buddha is someone who has abandoned both obscurations, the afflictive obscurations and the non-afflictive obscurations. Buddha is someone who has definitely completely abandoned the two obscurations. So someone who achieves the Hinayana Nirvana with remainder, whether it's a hearers or solitary realizers, in the last lesson we talked about how although they have achieved their respective nirvanas, but they still had the four factors of or the four causes of not knowing, isn't it? Like, you know, due to the complexity of subtleties of phenomena, the distance, the place, the time, and so forth, right? Isn't it? So they're not omniscient in that. Well, they are not all knowing, yeah. But the Buddha is not like that, yeah. Buddha, someone who has achieved Buddhahood is someone who can realize both all phenomena directly. As it is, yeah. So, according to the Great Exposition School, Buddha is all-knowing, yes. But their understanding of all-knowing or omniscience is not like the Mahayana's understanding. Isn't it? If you remember from the earlier lessons, according to the Great Exposition School, the convention, obscurations to knowledge, does not exist here. So the Great Exposition School assert that Buddha does know everything, but the Buddha has to focus on the object to know it. Whereas the Mahayana understanding is that the Buddha in any one moment cognizes every phenomena without having to it's kind of boring Buddha to be, right, according to the Great Exposition School. So this is Buddha for you from the Great Exposition School's perspective, the Hinayana perspective. Yeah. Buddha, does Buddha know everything according to them? Yes, Buddha knows everything. But Buddha has to know everything, but he has to know everything serially, you know. He has to put his mind, you know, object by object, you know, in stages. Unlike the Mahayana's presentation, whereas the Buddha in one moment cognizes all phenomena directly. In one moment.
Too much? No. Huh? No?
So on page 6, when the proponent of things differentiate definitive and interpretive sutras, they differentiate them by means of whether or not they are suitable to be accepted literally. Some among the two schools that propound objects do not assert the Mahayana scriptural collections to be the Buddha's word, because most proponents of great exposition accept that the sutras are necessarily sutras of definitive meaning. So proponent of things or proponent of truly existent things in essence, that's what it means. Proponent of things mean things being truly existent. Primarily refers to the Great Exposition School and the Sutra School. But if you want to put in the mind only school, So perhaps it's maybe okay to put in the mind only school, because you know they do talk about the thoroughly established natures and the other power natures to be truly existent. Yeah. Anyway. So, according to the Great Exposition School and the Sutra School mainly, for them, the Buddha doesn't talk about things that are not true. He doesn't say things that are false. So, if that's the case, then everything that the Buddha said, you can take it literally. And therefore, for them, sutras are only sutras of definitive meaning. So for them, because you have to take the Buddha's word to mean basically literally, So therefore, for the proponents of Great Exposition, for example, the proponents of Sutra, Buddha's words are necessarily, or the sutras are necessarily sutras of definitive meaning. For these Hinayanas, or proponents of the Great Exposition and the Sutra school, when they look at the Mahayana scriptural collections, it cannot fit their mind. And therefore, they assert that it is not Buddha's words. It cannot fit the mind because for them, their worldview is that as long as Buddha's words is, you have to take it literally. And but of course, if you look at the Mahayana's teachings, you cannot take it literally at all times. Yeah. And for them, therefore, you know, they look at everything, you know, in just through the perspective, it has to be taken literally. And then, according to the perspective, because it doesn't fit the reality of the situation, therefore, for them, it's not a sutra of definitive meaning, and therefore, it's not Buddha's words. Yeah. So therefore, you see, most proponents of Great Exposition and Sutra School said that the Mahayana scriptural collections are not Buddhist words. Because if it is Buddhist words, it has to be taken literally.
Okay.
Now we have finished with the Great Exposition School. So, as long as you have an understanding of the two truths, according to the Great Exposition School, the meaning of the two selflessnesses of person, both the cause and sato. As long as you have some understanding of how the five paths of the three vehicles are traversed and what are the objects of abandonment, then I think it's sufficient. As long as you roughly you have just an idea of what I've just mentioned, then it's enough.
Yeah.
So if you can do a little exercise on your own, you know, summarize in your own words your understanding of the Great Exposition School's presentation of the two truths, the three vehicles, and you know, the five paths, you know, in your own words, you know, you know, do this little exercise. Well, if you can write it out, it'll be good. You know. It helps, you see. So then with regards to the two truths, you know, posit an illustration for each, you know, and using this illustration, you know, to highlight basically the difference between the two truths. Yeah? Okay?
That
So that's for the two truths, yeah. Okay? And give an illustrations of the two, no? So that, and then to highlight the differences between the two truths, yeah. Then with regards to the two selflessnesses of person, what, you summarize in your own words, what is the non-existence of a permanent, unitary, and independent self?
And then, So,
what exactly is the non-existence of a permanent, unitary, and independent self? You know, because, so what if such a self is said to exist? So what if we think that such a self exists? So what's the problem, you know? Do the same thing, you know, with the non-existence of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person. Yeah. What exactly is this non-existence, and what's the problem if we say that that such a person indeed exists? Then what are the reasons, and what are the reasons, and what is the logic that is used to establish that a self-sufficient, substantially existing person does not exist? Then with regards to the three final vehicles, now you have to just have to. I mean, it's very clear in the text, it's in the root text. But you have to be clear in your own mind. You know, what are the three final vehicles? When their respective five paths. So, for example, their main object of meditation is the emptiness of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person, isn't it? But then there are differences in which merit is accumulated, and so therefore the method of traversing the path is different, yeah. Right, and also it is said that when you achieve a nirvana without remainder, basically all the goal of existence, yeah. Right, the continuum of the body and mind is severed, yeah. So as for the next school, the Sutra school, we will just look mainly at the presentation of the two truths and some other things. Okay, so when we look at the Sutra school, we will focus mainly on their presentation of the two truths. We are not going to talk about the selflessness of person, because it's the same. They are present. What they assert to be a self or person is the same as the Great Exposition School, and therefore, what they assert to be the selflessness of person is therefore the same. If you have understood all the discussion up to now, then that is enough, you know. So we're not going to talk about that. Then, as for the presentation of mind, what are valid cognizers and different kinds of mind, that we have already covered in the previous module. So we will not talk about it again.
Good night,
So if you have questions about on the Great Expedition School, then you should gather your thoughts together. If you have any questions, you bring it up, you know. Prepare now. Think about it, prepare, and then bring it up on Thursday. Yeah. If you have questions pertaining to the Great Exposition School. Okay, so you finish off. So ji bhige ji ji me do jang ri ra din jin ni de gen ba di sang ji shin du me de bo wa dru ge nam da shin la ji ba shi yi nang gu ru ra nam men da la ga ni ya da ya mi ge wan di nyun du nam